Just want to say thanks for praying for me as I was away last week and I was visiting my daughter Bethany and son-in-law Tej. I had the privilege of being the first parent to actually be in their apartment building. They live in a one-bedroom apartment right down in downtown Fort Lauderdale on the 30th floor. So they have a nice sectional sofa bed that I was able to sleep in. So thank you for your prayers for me as I was gone for the week, had a good week off. And Pastor Jason is on vacation this week. He's actually at a family reunion with his family. And so thanks for remembering Pastor Jason this week. And as I've said, our choir, as we're coming into the season of Easter. Well, we're coming up to the final in the series that we've been speaking about on having a goal. And today we're going to be talking about having a lifelong goal, the goal that God has given to you as a follower of Christ actually is lifelong. If you're here this morning and you're drawing breath and you're committed to the Lord, God has given you a lifelong role to be learning in. Now, we talked about the different parts of this world goal. We started out with the goal is God's plan. The goal causes us to be overcomers. And the goal causes us to be people who are people of affirmation. That was the A of goal. Today, we're talking about the fact that our goal is lifelong. And I kind of liked it. In the office, we had, as we were doing the bulletin, we kind of reversed the words. And our goal is long life. I like that too. It's lifelong, it's long life. The goal that Christ has given for you is the best possible plan that could ever be. And so we're going to look at the lifelong element of this goal. Now, you'll remember, those of you that when we started, that I talked about my favorite earthly goal that transpires. I'm not a real huge football or soccer fan. However, I do love the way that they call goals. Now, can we read this text out of Hebrews 12 together, please? Let's read it together. Here we go. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. And then in this stadium, there was, how many was it? 160,000 people that could sit in that? Is that right? 150. 150,000 people in this soccer stadium. And I mean, that's so small compared to the great heavenly crowd that surrounds you as you live this lifelong goal that God has for you. But you might remember during the first week of the celebration of this crowd of witnesses that we have, that we kind of pretended that we were in a soccer stadium crowd, and I promised our youth that on the last Sunday of our series that we would revisit this, and we would have an opportunity to score a goal. So everyone, please stand. And now you'll remember how this works. Everyone, please stand. Thank you. And then I'm going to go 3-2-1. And at the 3-2-1, we're going to go goal. I'm not going to do it, but you're going to do it. You're going to go goal as long as you can. So you're going to draw a breath, and you're going to go. Do you remember? Who many remember? I mean, if you don't forget, if you were here, you were remembering. So, are we ready over here? We are ready. All right. And so I'm going to go 3-2-1, and then you're going to, so my suggestion would be, on the 3-2-1, draw a breath, and then after that, it's goal. Now, when it's goal, this is very important. You don't get to draw any more breath. So you can't go like this, goal, goal, goal. That's cheating. It's one breath. Are you ready? Here we go. 3-2-1. They won! Give them a hand, our young people won! God bless you. You may be seated. Now, I saw you. I know you were still going, but I wanted to give it, you know, just in case. Now, here's I liked this, because when we did this the first time, this is what, and I told our youth and our young adults this after the first day that we did this. I said I really liked it because I thought that our youth and young adults were going to kind of win because they've got those youthful lungs and they did win today. Give them another hand. We've got a great group of youth and young adults, the best. Yes. But I liked it on that first Sunday because what I liked about it is it was some of our older people in our congregation. Lord knows, Martha, it may have been you. I don't know. but it was some of our older people in our congregation. And I liked that picture. I liked that picture of the faithfulness of those who've gone on before, still pressing toward the goal, still pressing toward the mark. And so I want you to now realize, as we close off this message on goal, that your goal is lifelong. And we're going to read out of the book of Philippians, chapter 3. And I always have to remind myself when I'm reading out of the book of Philippians, and if you have the NLT, you can turn there. If you don't have the NLT, please find it. It's in the Blue Pew Bible right in front of you, page 901. So would you just grab that Blue Pew Bible, please, page 901, and turn to page 901. I always have to remind myself when I'm reading out of the book of Philippians that the Apostle Paul was writing from jail. And this happens to be the most joy-filled epistle or letter in the New Testament. It's filled with joy. And so what this really speaks strongly to me about is this. Our joy in life, our satisfaction, if you will, or that fullness of life that Jesus Christ came to give to us does not depend upon our circumstance. It does not depend upon the things that we outwardly are experiencing at the moment, but rather it depends upon our rooting in Christ. It depends upon our pursuing, if you will, our lifelong goal, or having long life, having a good life. It depends upon how we pursue Christ. And so stand with me, please, as I read from the Word of God, and we're going to read this from verse 12 to 16, and I'd like us to read it in concert. And so just as if we were singing together, I'd like us to read this together. If you're ready, say amen. All right, let's read together, please. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we have already made. And the church said together, please be seated. How many of you have ever heard this? Well, nobody's perfect. Yeah? Well, I want to tell you something. Our lifelong goal is perfection. And you're right. Nobody is perfect. But here's the issue. We're not supposed to compare ourselves one with the other. Now, I know that Paul said, follow me, but he didn't say, follow me alone. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Exactly. And so while it's true that no one's perfect, what we need to understand is we're not supposed to be looking at one another. We're not supposed to set our sights upon certainly not upon the world system. We're not supposed to set our sights upon how people who don't know Christ yet live and say, well, that's how I'll live my life. We're not even supposed to set our sights upon people in the community of faith and say, I'm going to live my life like them. Even though there may be some prime examples of people that are doing a wonderful job living their lives for Jesus. We are supposed to fix our eyes upon Jesus Christ. If you believe that this morning, say amen. And how many of you know that Jesus Christ is perfect? I couldn't say he was perfect because he always has been. When Jesus Christ came, he showed us the express image of the Father. He showed us exactly what it was like to live a perfect life. And our goal is perfection. Our goal is to be like Jesus. Listen, if you want to set your goal low, you'll achieve it. If you want to have a low goal and say, well, I'm just going to be like some of the people in the church, you'll achieve that. If you even pick up, a good example, and one of the things I'm thankful for in the Church of Jesus Christ is that there are some of the best examples of loving God and living and loving people that I've ever seen. But even if you set your sights upon one of those people, you're setting your sight in the wrong spot. You're supposed to set your sights upon Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior. And when you set your sight upon Jesus Christ, you understand that your goal is perfection. And so Paul writes and he says, now I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things, because that's his goal. As the hymn writer said, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. All I ask is to be like him. All through life's journey, from here to glory, all I ask is to be like him. And so Paul had his sights set on Jesus, and we need to set our sights on Jesus. And so we would say, and understand what Paul's saying when he says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection. You can circle that in your notes, perfection. Your goal is perfection. Your goal is to be like Christ. You know, when the people asked Jesus, they said, well, what do we need to do to get to heaven? He didn't say this. Well, you know, you should love the Lord your God with most of your soul and with some of your heart and with a piece of your mind and with your strength when you're feeling like it. No. He said, you should love the Lord your God with your heart, with your soul, with your mind, and with all your... Yeah, that's it. That's what we're to do. That's the goal. The goal is perfection. You see, God's call on your life is towards higher ground. God's call on your life is not to stay where you are. Since you've been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Now, you know what he's doing there? He's praying for you. He's praying for you. He ever lives, the Bible says, to make intercession for those of us who call upon his name, that we might fulfill the plan and the purpose that he's given to us, that we might steward out our lives according to what he's gifted us to do. He's sitting at the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Understand, Christian, in the Christian life, there's no such thing as standing still. There's no such thing. You're either going forward or you're going backwards. And God has a call on each one of our lives to the place of higher ground, this lifelong call of perfection. And here's the neat thing about that. As you honor God with your life, you will discover your purpose. You know, sometimes even as Christians, we feel like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, or I don't know what my purpose is, or I don't really feel fulfilled. Well, listen, as you honor the Lord with your life, your purpose will be found. And it's a war. You're in a war to honor God down here in the world with your life. You're in a battle, but Christ will give you the victory as you trust him. But you're in a war, and here's the battle. The battle is to try to be squeezed into that same mold as everybody else in the world is. But Paul writes and he says this, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. That's our natural tendency, is to just think like the world, to act like, but don't copy that behavior, don't copy that custom, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. I was so excited, Pastor Karsten, when you said to me in the office this morning that this is the most powerful sermon that you've ever preached. Do you know why? Because you're talking about the power of the positive, and you're talking about changing the way you think. And so, I mean, if you can come to the mix at 6 tonight, come. It's going to be powerful. By changing the way you think, look what happens when you do this. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now, every one of you is children of God. Every one of you have moments that you have with Christ where you just know how much he loves you, and you've sensed his grace in your life, and you've sensed his acceptance. You've sensed him call you his daughter and his son. But then sometimes when we stray from this pathway, we don't seem to know the will of God. But as you honor the Lord, you're going to find God's will, and God's will for you is good, and it's pleasing. He has the perfect plan for you. If you believe that, would you say amen this morning? So our lifelong goal is perfection. It's perfection. Secondly, the second part about our lifelong goal is this. Our lifelong goal calls us to press on. Our lifelong goal calls us to press on. Now, I like that Paul often compared this Christian life that we live to as a race. How many of you have ever run in a race? Okay, I remember running in races at times. I can remember running in the 100-yard dash. I can remember running in a relay race with a team. And then I remember the pain of running in a 10-kilometer, I don't know what to call it. I can't call it a 10-kilometer run. It was a 10-kilometer start to run, stop, walk, limp, run a little more, stop, catch your breath, get there. So I've run, but the Christian life is not a 100-yard dash. The Christian life is a marathon. It's not a 10-kilometer run, it's a marathon. And here's the reality. All of you know times where you felt the wind of God at your back. You know, you just have prayed and God answered your prayer and God opened a door and it feels like that communication with you and the Father is great and you're just feeling the wind of God at your back. But there's other times, and this is normal, there's other times in your Christian experience where it feels like you're running uphill. There's other times when it's storm clouds and when it feels like the wind's at your face, not at your back. And as you're pressing on, you're feeling like, I don't know if I can go any farther. I don't know if I can make it. But our lifelong goal calls us to press on. But I press on to that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. And I like this word possessed. You know, because oftentimes scripturally, when we talk about somebody being possessed, we have a negative connotation to that, don't we? But did you know, Christian, that you are possessed with Christ? He paid the highest price for you. He purchased your salvation. He took you from the chains of bondage, and he's broken those chains on your life, and he set you into a life of liberty. He took you from death, and he brought you into life. He took you from darkness, and he brought you into light. You are possessed by Christ. And so even when you're feeling that the wind is in your face, even when you're feeling that you're in the midst of the storm, even when you're feeling that the battle's uphill, understand that Christ is with you and he's calling you to press on. Now, there's quite a paradox here when you talk about the fact that our goal is perfection and we're still supposed to press on. So our goal is something that, well, in quite honestly, it's unattainable in ourselves, right, to be totally perfect. But that's our goal, to be like Jesus. In the New Testament times, there were some people that thought they had already arrived. There were some people that had thought they'd already made it. They carried themselves as perfect, and they looked down on other people, and they set themselves up as people that had achieved it all. But you need to understand that as you're pressing on in the lifelong goal that God has for you, something that's very true about Christians that are in the right place. Christians are people of deep contrition. The more that you come to know Jesus, the more that you come to follow Jesus, the more that you grow in your Christian experience, the more that you press on in your lifelong goal, you need to understand this. Christians are people of deep contrition. And so Paul had to battle against these people who thought that they had it all together. And so he kind of pleads with them. He says, Dear brothers and sisters, no, I have not achieved it. And you need to know something. If we could take the Apostle Paul, and if we had to a scale of, you know, zero being not holy and 10 being holy, we'd probably put him at 10.5. I mean, he was a holy man of God. And if Paul didn't achieve it, what he was saying is none of us have achieved it, because the goal is perfection. And Christians, the more that we grow, we are people of deep contrition. Now that word contrition, the Bible says that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. You see, we need to be very careful as those who've received the grace of God that somehow we don't feel proud and we don't look down on other people who haven't received the grace of God, and we don't say, I've arrived and I've got it together. And we need to be very careful if we feel those kinds of sentiments in our heart. That word contrite, it means brokenhearted for sin. It means deeply affected with grief and sorrow for sin. It means humble. Humble. And so Christian people who are growing with Christ, they are people of deep contrition. That's why Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6. He said, when you pray, pray like this: forgive us our as we forgive. See, we need forgiveness. Even though we're Christians, we need forgiveness. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And you'll remember that one day in the temple, there was a tax collector and a Pharisee. And this is in Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, there was a tax collector and a Pharisee. And we really need to guard ourselves if we ever have these kinds of feelings in our mind. And the Pharisee came into the temple, and he saw the tax collector in the temple. And the fact that the tax collector was there just made him sick. He just looked down. You know, when we look down on people, we need to be very careful. When we look at any human being that's created in the image of God and we look down upon them, we need to be very careful about what's going on in our hearts. But this Pharisee looked down upon the tax collector that was in the temple, and this is what he said. God, I thank you that I'm not a sinner like that man. I don't cheat. I don't sin. I don't commit adultery. And I'm not like that terrible tax collector over there. In fact, God, I thank you that I fast 2 times a week and I pay my tithe. You know what we did earlier? Paying of the tithe, it's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. It's a heart thing for believers. We give the tithe because the Lord has our heart. It's not, we're not buying into anything. We're just telling the Lord we love him. I fast 2 times a week. And you know what the tax collector did? He beat his chest, didn't even look up to heaven. And he said, oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. You see, what you need to remember is that's how you got into the church. It doesn't matter. I don't care if your family lineage goes back to Peter. You don't get into the church because you're Peter's son or daughter. You get into the church because you understand that Jesus died on the cross for your sin, and you say this, oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. You see, Christian people are people of deep contrition. So as we're pressing on towards this lifelong goal, we are still people of deep contrition. James puts it like this, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. How many of you would like God to give you some grace? And so let's not be those that are proud. Let's not be those that are talking down to people or looking down on people. But let's remember how we got in here in the first place. Our lifelong goal, friends, is to press on. And really, Christians are, as we're pressing on, Christians are to be focused on the Great Commission. It's amazing that God has told us to go and make disciples everywhere. That's why we give to missions. That's why we send missionaries all over the globe, because we're to be focused on the Great Commission. Paul said this, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past. I want to talk to you about that for a moment. Forget it. Yesterday, forget it. Last week, forget it. Last month, forget it. Whatever bad things are back there, forget it. They're gone. They're just gone. Forget it. But also, I want to tell you this. Whatever good things happened yesterday, forget it. They're gone. Whatever successes were achieved, forget it. They're gone. Whatever God did through your life yesterday, forget it. It's gone. I focus on this one thing. Forget the past. The past is over. And look forward to what lies ahead. We're to be focused on the Great Commission, to be building up others, to be pointing others to Jesus Christ. And as we are pressing on in our lifelong goal of becoming like Jesus, do you know how we're fixed? Christians are fixed by understanding their spiritual condition. Like we're in a right mindset when we understand what our spiritual condition is in Christ. And do you know what you are? You are a chosen people. You're chosen by God. You are royal priests. You are a holy nation. Do you see why it's important to be humble? I'm chosen. I'm a royal priest. No, no. Be humble. You are God's, there it is again, you're God's very own possession. Why? Because you are, because this is your spiritual condition. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. If you're glad that you're living in the light, would you say amen? Amen. Praise God. I mean, this week I was driving into our prayer meeting on Saturday morning. Talk about limping in. I opened the garage door and it was like, what is that? Did anybody see Saturday morning around 7:30? Didn't see much, did you? I mean, I backed out onto the street and I'm driving down the street and I'm thinking, I hope I don't hit anybody. Like, I could only see 10 feet in front of the car, even going over the bridge. And I wondered, I wonder if anybody's going to be here to pray this morning. I got to tell you something. Every Saturday morning, we meet together to pray for you. We pray for you. And you're welcome to come. Every Saturday morning, we meet together. And I think there must have been about a dozen of us that came in that soupy fog. But here's what I was thinking as I was driving to the church, and I told this to the people that had gathered to pray. I was thinking about spiritual blindness, because that's what spiritual blindness is like. You know, people are going ahead, but they can only see so far. People are going ahead, but they're not quite sure what direction they're headed in. And if they don't find Christ, one day they're going to face judgment. If they don't find Christ, it's going to be like one day, you know, they just saw white, they were going ahead, and boom, they went right off the cliff. That's our job. Our job is to understand that God has called us, thank God, out of darkness. And he's given us this wonderful light, and we can see and we can press on in the name of Jesus. And here's the secret about pressing on in your life. The secret is this: Christ lives in you. This is not a religion. This that we're involved in, everyone who's received Christ and is born again by the Spirit of God, this is not a religion. It's a living relationship with the living God. And the secret is this: Jesus is alive in you. He's alive in you, and so let him flourish as you press on in your lifelong goal. Third thing that Paul talks about is our lifelong goal strives toward the prize. Our lifelong goal strives toward the prize. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Now, if you've got your Bibles open, I'm interested to look at this text and see how many times that Paul uses personal pronouns. Look at this. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, I missed me, for which God through Christ Jesus is calling. He's calling who? He's calling us. So eight times Paul uses this personal pronoun, but then when he wraps it up, listen, God's preparing a prize for us. God's preparing a prize for you. As you live out your life in Christ, he's preparing something just for you. And so our lifelong goal strives towards the prize. There should be this working in our heart that just continues to do the right thing. And so how do you strive toward the prize in this race that God, in this lifelong marathon of faith? Well, you need to run with endurance the race that God is providing. Run the race with the endurance that God will provide. It's God who set your course. It's God who puts you, listen, God put this path before you that you're experiencing. And so run the, he'll, since he's the one that gave you the path, he's going to give you the endurance. So run the race with the endurance that God will provide. Now here's the problem. Sometimes we like to run like this guy. We dress up in our suit and our case, and we carry this big ball, this ball on our ankle, and we try to run the race, and we say, man, I cannot run. And it's true, you can't run like this. You can't run like this. And so can I ask you, what is that thing that you just, you know you should put it away, but you didn't? You know God's delivered you, but you didn't put it away yet? Let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Check this out now. Especially the sin that so easily trips us up. What is that sin? What is that sin? Is it pride? Is it covetousness? Is it jealousy? Is it sensuality? Is it the pursuit of position? Is it pursuit of pleasure? What is that sin that trips you up? You see, God has set you free. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Run the race with the endurance that God will provide. And as you strive toward the prize in your life, remember this, that as you run, God wants you to encourage others as well towards the prize. You're not in this alone. We're in this together. And the beautiful thing about the Christian experience is this. Even though I told you it's true that we set our eyes on Jesus, I want to tell you, there are people in this church that are a constant encouragement to me by the way that you live your life, by the sacrifices that you make, by the commitment that I see in your life. Do you know who you remind me of? You remind me of Jesus Christ. You remind me of somebody that has their heart rooted in the purposes of God the Father. And so make sure that as you're running, as you're striving, that you also encourage others towards the prize. Don't you realize, this is an earthly race now, that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. That's true down here, but it's not true in the heavenly race. But run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. I was checking yesterday the NCAA results for my niece, Nina. She swims for one of the Big Ten universities in the States, and she was at the NCAA championships. Now, her best stroke is breaststroke, and her best stroke in that is the 100-yard breaststroke. And so she was in the 100 and the two. She made times for the 100 breasts, the 200 breasts, and the 400 IM, or the 100 IM, rather. And so I was looking at her times. Now, when she swims in Canada, in the 100 breasts, she usually comes first, second, or third. But you know what? She came in her most favorite event. She came 39th. Now, some might say, whoa, that's not very good. But here's what I realized. I looked at all of the racers, all of those people that made it to NCAA, because only the top of the top go to the NCAA standards. From the finalists down to 0.39 that Nina swam in the 100 breast, it was 0.54 of a second. If she would have swam that race 0.54 of a second quicker, that's not a lot of time. So between number 16 and number 39 was only 0.54 of a second. She would have been in the final, and I know that she will be, and hopefully she'll be in the Olympics someday, and then I'm going to go and watch her and cheer her on. But all athletes are disciplined in their training. I'll tell you something, friends. Somebody that's an athlete, they're disciplined. And you know, as I look at this word disciplined, it looks like a Bible word. Can anybody think of the Bible word that looks like the word disciplined? Disciple. And if we're going to be successful, not only for ourselves, but if we're going to be successful encouraging others, do you know, friends, we're going to have to be disciplined as we live this Christian walk. If you believe that, say amen. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. Oh, God has put eternity in your hearts for you, for sure, but not just for you, that you might encourage others along the way too. As you strive toward the prize, run every day realizing that eternity is your finish line. Now, I had a problem with this slide. I didn't know what to put down. Was I supposed to put down, run every day realizing eternity is the finish line? Or was I supposed to put down, run every day realizing that eternity is the starting point? Because it's true. Like the goal will be realized, right? It'll be realized when you cross that finish line. But you know what's going to happen? When you cross that, you're going to start. When you cross that finish line, you're going to be transformed. When you cross that finish line or come into that starting point, you're going to be like Jesus. You're going to have a brand new assignment. You're going to be with the saints in glory, and God's plan for you will continue to unfold. So understand that the way that we spend our lives down here influences our eternity. And you were made for eternity, every one of you that are here. If you're here, friend, and you've not received the gift of God that's in Christ Jesus, you can do it today. You can find this purpose for your life today by receiving Christ. You were made for eternity. And you know what it's going to be like when you cross the finish line or when you hit the starting line, however you want to say it? You know what your rewards are going to be like? I can tell you, no mind has ever seen. No ear has ever heard. And no mind has begun to imagine the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But check this out now. Those of you that are Christians, you know this is true. But it's to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. So already his Spirit is at work in you. Already his Spirit is shaping your life. Already his Spirit is calling you on to strive towards the prize. Finally, fourthly, as we're talking about our lifelong goal is our pursuit. God has us involved in this pursuit of righteousness. And Paul says this, we must hold on to the progress we've already made. I referred to this a little bit earlier in the message this morning. Christian, listen to me. If you're not going ahead, you're falling back. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about in your progress. If you're not moving ahead, there is no standing still in the Christian race. It doesn't happen. You're either going ahead or you're falling behind. And Paul encourages us and he says, we must hold on to the progress we've already made. So let me ask you the question, what has God done for you? What has changed in your life? What's changed in your life because you're a Christian? Hold on to that. And don't slip back doing some of those things that you shouldn't be doing. Don't do that. Hold on to the progress you've already made and pursue what God has for you in the future. Now, that word pursue means this. It means the act of pursuing or following with a view to overtake. I like that. It's the act of pursuing or following with a view to overtake. And so as you've got your eyes fixed on Jesus, you're involved in this lifelong pursuit of becoming more like the Lord, and God changes you from glory to glory as his Spirit is at work in your life. And let me tell you something about the Christian life. It's possible that you can be a happy Christian or a not happy Christian. You can be a happy Christian or an unhappy Christian. You can be happy with people in the church or you can be unhappy with people. It doesn't even matter what a church you attend. I mean, you're either going to be happy in the church you attend or you're going to be not happy in the church that you attend. And why don't you take just a good admonition from Paul? Don't focus on the minors, but major on the majors. I like what Paul says here. He says this, let all who are spiritually mature agree. Would you please say agree? Just circle it. Like just let that just be emblazed upon your spirit this morning. Just agree. I mean, in the body of Christ, just be willing to agree. I promise you, even today, you're going to come across a Christian brother or sister, and you're going to have this little piddly thing that you could just don't disagree. Be mature and agree. Just build a bridge and agree. Build a bridge and find unity with that person. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. And I love how Paul puts it. Oh, by the way, if you disagree on some minor point there, I just believe God will make it clear. Just love each other. Just understand that you're forgiven. Just understand that you're to take the gospel message to the kingdom. I like our mission statement for our church. You know what we are? If you know it, you could say it with me. We're a group of people who are loving God and leading people to the living Lord. That's our job, to love God and to lead people to the living Lord. Don't focus on the minors, but major on the majors. You'll be much happier as you journey your life. And align your life with Jesus, and you know what's going to happen? You will bear much fruit. You'll bear much fruit as you align your life with Jesus. You're not just going to bear a little bit of fruit, and it's not going to be, Martha, you are one of those people that encourages me. I'm sorry to draw. Martha didn't even want to come up here today. But she's a faithful lady. She's faithful to pray. She's faithful to serve. She's faithful to give. She's faithful to love. Marty, you're an encouragement to your pastor. She often says, I pray for all the pastors. I pray for our church. I'm thankful for our church. I dear Jesus, if I make 94, 95, make me more like that. You see, as Christians, it's not the older that we get, the more crotchety we're supposed to be. Like the older that we get, the sweeter we should be. The more that we align our lives with Christ, the longer that, the hymn writer put it like this, the longer that I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. And I thank God in this church, you know, there are so many people that have served the Lord for so long, so many good examples to look towards. And let us be those people that align our lives with Jesus. And as we grow older, we won't bear less fruit. We're going to bear more fruit. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you can ask me for anything you want because we'll be asking for the right stuff. See, the more we abide in Christ, we're not going to ask for stuff just for selfish pleasure. We're going to ask for the right stuff. You can ask me for anything you want and it will be granted. And when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. And this brings great glory to my Father. Align your life with Jesus and you will bear much fruit. And finally, allow faithfulness to be the crowning glory of your life. In another book, Paul knew that his life down here was coming to a close. And he writes this to his true son in the faith. I fought the good fight. I mean, there's a good fight to fight. Let's fight that one. I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me. The crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. Can you notice something again, the personal pronouns? I fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've remained faithful. The prize awaits me. The righteous judge will give me. And this prize is not just for me. Look now. But for all. Would you please say all? It's for you. It's for you. This prize is for you. This prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Allow faithfulness to be the crowning glory of your life. Would you pray with me, please? Thank you. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, I want to thank you for the goal that's on our lives. I want to thank you that we are surrounded by a vast host of witnesses who are cheering us on. And I want to thank you, Lord, that your plan for us is lifelong. It's lifelong. God, refresh our hearts today. Forgive us, Lord, if we've looked at people to set our sights. Even if we've looked at good people, Lord, we don't want to look at people because our goal is to be like Jesus. Our goal is perfection. Forgive us, Lord, when we settle for anything less. Help us to press on. Lord, help us to keep on keeping on. Help us to know that your spirit is at work in us. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And God, help us to strive toward that eternal prize and to know something that none of us have arrived yet. And what you've placed in our hearts is to be our lifelong pursuit. As I'm in this place, and I don't want people to be looking around or eyes to be open, but I just would like you to pretend that you're just here alone, just you and Jesus. And I'm wanting to ask this question this morning. How many of you would be here and you'd say, you know, Pastor Doug, I've heard about Jesus. I've been familiar with Jesus. But to tell you the truth, I've never surrendered my life to Christ. I've never given my life to the Lord. And I've heard the scripture that says God loves the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish. But I've never done that. And you're in this place today and you just sense the Lord calling your name, as it were. You just sense in your heart that God's calling you to make that commitment. I'd like to pray with you. And so if that's you today, would you just slip up your hand and say, yeah, I want to give my life to Christ. Just put your hand up high so that I can see it, please. Thank you. How many others? Thank you in the balcony. You can put your hand up. How many others would say, yeah, you know what, today I just want to give my life to Christ. Put your hand up high, Jesus, so I can see it for a moment, please. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And church, I just want you to pray these words, follow me in. And those of you that have lifted up your hands this morning, here's the neat thing. You're not coming to me. You're not coming to this church when you put up your hand like that. You're not joining a denomination, but you're coming to the living Christ, the one who left heaven, who died on the cross for your sins, and who God raised from the dead. And so when you pray this prayer from your heart, you can expect that God will receive you. Jesus said, I'll never turn anybody aside that prays this prayer. Anybody that comes to me, I'll never push aside. And so congregation, just pray this out loud with me. And if you raised your hand or you want to pray this prayer, just say these words. Dear God, I come to you today in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Forgive me today. I give you my life. I believe that you are the Lord. Come into my heart. I confess that Jesus is Lord with my mouth. And I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. Help me to live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen.